Turn in your Bibles, if you would, this evening, to the book of Judges, chapter number 9. Judges, chapter number 9. This evening, I want to focus on the subject, the thought, the honor of usefulness. The honor of usefulness. And let me begin reading in Judges, chapter 9, and I'll just go ahead and take the liberty to read verses 8 through 15. We need to read this entire section in order, I think, to understand the total context, and then as we look at what I want to pull out from it this evening. Verse number 8 of chapter 9 of the book of Judges. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, reign thou over us. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness, wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees. And the tree said to the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said the trees unto the vine, come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said all the trees unto the bramble, come thou and reign over us. And the bramble said unto the trees, if in truth ye anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow, and if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. I want us tonight, as we focus on this one particular passage of scripture found in the book of Judges, I want us tonight to single out one of the particular trees that seem to have a very important voice when it comes to the matter of this Old Testament parable, which we have recorded here in the book of Judges, and that being the olive tree. We noticed in reading that there were several trees that seemed to enter into the subject matter or conversation. But actually, this passage of scripture is primarily teaching another truth which concerns a leader who was self-imposed, and I'll mention that in just a moment, who actually was a very selfish, egotistical leader who was requesting to be placed in charge, and I'll bring that out in just a moment. So the parable here concerns that situation with that one particular person. Now, the olive trees chose, as you see here what we read, the olive tree chose honor over power. The olive tree, when asked to be king, it denied the offer. The olive tree wanted to simply have the usefulness of honor rather than power. The olive tree is basically saying, I prefer to emphasize honor rather than power. And the word power is a key word, which you'll see in a minute to be a very important word in the context here. Its honor is in its usefulness, the olive tree. The olive tree is an honorable tree because it's a useful tree. And I think that's an important point. The honor is in its usefulness. Now, Judges chapter 9 is both the longest and the saddest chapter in the book of Judges. The book of Judges, you read the book of Judges, and you see a repetition constantly occurring. You'll see the people sinning. You see the people repenting. You'll see God granting forgiveness. And then they'll raise up, then another judge will come on the scene. And the cycle keeps being repeated. In other words, the people, because of allowing sin to come into their life and so forth, God raises up a force, a threat, whether it be the Amalekites or whoever the case might be. And then the people humble down and give them another judge, and the cycle keeps being repeated throughout this book. One of the most solemn statements that's found in the book of Judges is this: every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, that is a terrible statement in terms of what it says. You and I aren't capable tonight of ruling our lives by ourselves. We're not capable tonight of by our self-energies and ability to be able to manage our life. We need divine help. Simply that. Now, this chapter records the first parable in Scripture. This parable was delivered by Jotham. And Jotham was the youngest son of Gideon. And if you read the preceding verses, you will find that something terrible had happened. Again, Jotham, the youngest son of Gideon. Gideon was one of the judges. And Jotham escaped wholesale murder on the part of the sons of Gideon, on part of actually one of the sons of Gideon, who was born to a concubine who was a Canaanite. And the son's name was Abimelech. When you read the chapter, you'll find that it was Abimelech that was causing the troubles, causing the problem. He was born, as I said, to a concubine. He was he was Gideon's son, born to a concubine. And he wanted authority. He wanted power. He wanted prestige. He wanted position. So his name was Abimelech. He went to Shechem. Shechem was a place of his mother's family. And he gained support from the people there at Shechem to usurp authority as a self-proclaimed king. It was all about himself. Self-proclaimed. He then went back on a killing spree. He killed 69 of Gideon's sons. And only the youngest, whose name was Jotham, escaped. Jotham. He was an Old Testament, ruthless dictator. He was a power monger. That's what he was, Abimelech. The craze for power has always been a destructive force. We've seen it in history. We see it currently. The craze for power, it's a destructive attitude to have. It destroys logic, it destroys common sense, and it destroys judgment, and it basically tends to self-destruct. The craze for power. The olive tree in this parable, it declines the offer. Come be thou king over us. It declines the offer. It prefers to function in its God-given role of productiveness for the good of man. That's basically it. It wants to function in terms of just being productive, providing fruit, honoring God and man. That was the decision on the part of this olive tree in this parable. I don't want to be king. I don't want the authority. I don't want the power. I just simply want to function and do what I'm supposed to do. Be a fruit-bearing tree. Jotham's parable was to make a point. And the point tonight can be applied to a church. The point tonight can be applied to our lives individually. This is an Old Testament passage, but it certainly has some New Testament application when it comes to what we need. I believe tonight when the Scriptures say this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I believe that includes the book of Judges and the 9th chapter of the book of Judges. It has something to offer us tonight. It suggests something that will make us a better person. It suggests good spiritual truths that we need to apply along the path of Christian growth, and I'm thinking particularly about the people of God. So Jotham's parable here was to make a point that a productive person would be too busy doing good and necessary things to bother with power politics. That's the point. A productive person is going to be so busy, so involved in doing the good and necessary things to aid people, to benefit people, that they don't have time for power politics. Accepted the offer. The bramble accepted the offer to be made king. Now look at verse number 15, please. Verse 15, the bramble. The bramble said unto the trees, if in truth ye anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. Now, Abimelech, we could say then, was a bramble king. That's how you apply it to him. He was a bramble king. Now, what can you say about a bramble? Well, the bramble, the bush, the scrub, shrubbery, if you will, it offered nothing. Didn't even offer shade. Nothing by way of fruit. Nothing. You couldn't even compare it to an olive tree. So the point is Abimelech, he was self-imposed, he was egotistical, and like the bramble in this parable, he said, make me king. And yet he didn't have anything to offer, as a bramble doesn't have anything to offer. When you talk about bramble, just try, in your mind, try to think of a scrub bush. Shrubbery, scrub bush. I don't think I'd go out, if I had a scrub bush in my yard, I don't think I would be able to go out, get myself a picnic table, get me a lawn chair, and sit under that scrub bush and expect much shade, if any, and have an evening picnic. I don't think I'd be able to do that. Do you all? Y'all, any of you have a scrub bush that would serve that purpose? Just like I believed. No, none of us. So he was a bramble king. What good is a bramble? It is worthless of all the trees. Worthless. It clings close to the ground. It provides no shadow for shade or trust. And here's something we need to think about. Abimelech is a reflection of modern day political hirelings who are interested in themselves and their agendas and could care less for people. We see his kind today in radical political leadership, don't we? Only interested in self, in their own agenda. That's how Abimelech was. He reflects that. Now, the killer, this killer, and he was a killer, he killed all of the sons of all of the sons of the judge, and only Jotham was remaining, of course. He killed all of the other sons. He represents the debased rule of selfish political rulers who kill any political opposition, such as world dictators. His kind can be seen in, like, the dictators of, let's say, North Korea, let's say China, let's say Iran, let's say Russia. His kind is reflected in those world dictators who care less about the people, but it's all about self. It's all about power. It's all about agenda. It's running roughshod over the people to make self look good. The bramble, ruthless, and power-hungry mentality, and I don't mind saying this, is displayed in the radical left politics. Amen. History has a way of being brutally honest, though. It has a way of being brutally honest. If people would read history, what are you going to find? You're going to find ruthless dictators bait their own trap at some point. They always go down in shame. So we could apply that this way. The example of the bloody and ruthless history of socialism and communism. That reflects this man that we read about here. Socialism, incidentally, conversely, it's been tried and has failed time after time. It's an economic perversion that fundamentally undermines incentives, discourages risk-taking, stunts innovation, and facilitates tyranny. And that, my friend, is the agendas of some today that strut around our nation's capital and claim to have the interests of the American people, but to have their interest is their own agenda. Margaret Thatcher once said this. She said, the problem with socialism is that you eventually run out of other people's money. And how true that is. We, unfortunately, are living at a time that we have the academics of Abimelech being taught. In a lot of the public institutions today, the schools, quote-unquote, of higher learning, committed to brainwashing young brains to do so in the face of, and doing so in the face of dark socialism. It is tragic. It is alarming that our country, the United States of America, has professors that are brainwashing young minds with socialism, which is destructive. But it's going on. I think you probably already know this, but the Communist Manifesto, if y'all looked at that, if you looked at the tenets of the Communist Manifesto, the overthrow of capitalism, infiltrate the news media, gain control of education, take control of the political parties, then lastly, take control of the government without firing a shot. Once you have control of the government, you can change the laws at which will lead to a communist state. And then one of the biggies under the manifesto is the elimination of the family as a social unit. But now I want to do this. I want to transition to the spiritual application that we see here in Judges 9. The spiritual application, because that's primarily why we're here. What is in this passage for us? Well, let me suggest these thoughts tonight. We learn from the olive tree, or the olive tree, the fig tree, we could talk about some of the others with the exception of the bramble. But the olive tree lets us understand that life is not just about us. I see that principle. Life is not just about us. We're not here just for us. Christians recognize we certainly have a much higher calling. We're here for the glory of God. But we're here to be a blessing and a help to others. As the olive tree expresses an illustration, usefulness, unselfishness, then that principle applies to us tonight that are saved. Now, think about this. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39, listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That pretty well says it, doesn't it? We exist to glorify God and to be a blessing to people. To honor God and to honor people. Worship, honor, glorifying God, but we're here on a mission to benefit people. It's not about self. It's about others. First of all, God. I mean, really, you can take those two commandments that Jesus laid out, and that pretty well gives to us the right Christian manifesto, doesn't it? God and people. The love of others results in investment of our lives in being a blessing and help to others. Jesus said the second commandment, thou shalt love thy neighbor. So, break that down. Loving others results in investing our lives in being a blessing and a help to others. And if we're not careful, we lose sight of that. Why are we saved? Why are we in this church? Why did God bless us? Why has He blessed us the way He's blessed us? Not just to take those blessings and with the attitude, I'm happy whether anybody else is or not. No, it's taking what God's done for us and sharing it with others. In other words, the ministry that we have is not just about self, but others. That principle is seen in the parable pertaining to the olive tree. The olive tree is basically saying, it's about others. It's about others. Some people feel that blessings only apply to just us. And here's another little point. Thank God tonight for Christian families. Boy, we'd be in a world of hurt, a church without Christian families, wouldn't we? Praise the Lord for Christian families. But if we're not careful, even as Christians, in our families, we become just focused on our immediate family. And at the expense of not realizing outside our family, people around us, our church, those others around too. So we can't be just totally consumed with personal, just family. No, it's reaching out. It's others too. And I think we see that. Here's the point, folks. Usefulness is an honor. Remember that. Usefulness is an honor. One of the greatest honors a Christian has is being useful. Being useful. Power that does not serve the best interest of a fellow man is useless power. Think about it. If power is not serving the best interest of fellow man, it's useless power. Boy, could I could illustrate this pretty well right now with the Biden family. The Biden family. You ever hear of Hunter Biden? I mean, I say this tonight kind of chuckling a little bit. I, by the way, have a right to chuckle since my name's Chuck. But the sleazy business dealings with hostile foreign governments which pad the wallets of the Bidens and the national security risk that is. Biden can't be too hard on China or Russia, for they might squeal on him. We're talking about the risk of blackmail, aren't we? Again, you don't have to look too far to see an example here of the Bramble King type, the Bramble Bush. But I want to mention quickly this evening, let me just mention the first point. Here's my first point tonight. Honor is better than power. Very practical. Verse number 9. Honor is better than power. Look at how verse 9 reads. But the olive trees said, or tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness, wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees. Principle number one, honor is better than power. We see that here. Think about the olive tree for just a moment. You know, the olive tree is a very unique tree. The normal lifespan of an olive tree is from 500 to 900 years of age. Some have actually been known to live 1,000 years, olive tree. Verse 9, there's a point here. Notice this. Should I leave my fatness by me, wherewith by me they honor God and man? Think of the usefulness of the olive, the fruit of the olive tree. He says, honor God and man. Well, how is the olive tree, how does that honor God and man? Well, we think of the olive in particular, the use of olive oil. We could go back and we could study the Old Testament Levitical offerings, the use of oil in meat offerings and in anointings, and then the many uses of olive for even man, many uses. Olive oil, so many things we could talk about. Now, in Israel, and here's something that I noticed in my recent trip to Israel. We went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and there are some people that actually believe that there are some of those trees in the Garden of Gethsemane, that actually could have been living at the time of Christ. Speaking of the long age of an olive tree, a unique tree. And here's something else you may or may not know. But olive trees do not bear fruit until 5 to 8 years of age. And they don't reach development until they're 20 years of age. Olive trees mature and are at full production from 35 to 150 years of age. The average tree, the average olive tree, produces 41 to 54 pounds of olives per year. Or the equivalent of 4 to 5 liters of oil per year. The record for an olive tree was one that actually did yield 1,760 pounds of olives. The golden oil of the olive was used in ancient civilizations as a body ointment and to heal wounds. The early Egyptians used olive oil to ease the movement. And here's an interesting thought. You know about the pyramids of Egypt, the massive rock structures that the Egyptians were known for. Well, the early Egyptians used olive oil to ease the movement of the great stones to build the pyramids. The ancient Greeks, they burned olive oil in lamps as a source of light, and then worldwide olive oil production is 460 million gallons a year. Worldwide olive oil consumption is 486 million gallons a year. So, the olive is a very useful fruit from the olive tree. The olive. Now, my second principle tonight is this. Number two. Here's what we see. Function is better than fame. That's the second principle we see here. Function is better than fame. The olive tree wasn't created for looks. It wasn't. In fact, the olive tree is not a very pretty tree. It was not created for looks. It was created for function. And that's a principle here. Function is better than fame. The olive tree was not meant to be a glamour queen, if I could put it like that. That's one of the great problems today in a secular, ungodly, Christless, humanistic society is too many people are aspiring to be glamour queens instead of people of character that honor God. Hollywood is one of the best examples of that. Hollywood promotes its glitz, its glamour, as well as its extravagant lifestyle and hedonistic philosophies of the movie stars and the celebrities. And what a poor example. Many of the movies that are created by Hollywood promote lavish materialism, promote adultery, sensuality, self-worship, and idolatry. And some Hollywood movies exhibit a blatant anti-God bias. That's evident. Very evident. And here's a good question tonight. What is the difference between the Hollywood mentality and the Christian mentality? Hollywood's mentality is show off self. Christian mentality is show God off. And that's the difference. Rather than show self off, show God off. The olive tree was meant to bear fruit. And so is a Christian. There's my application. We're meant to bear fruit. We're meant not to just be seen. We're meant to function, to bear fruit. What does that involve? That involves selfless living, devoted to God and others. That's the lesson we learn. Now, so the parable here, the olive tree refused to be promoted to king. It refused the offer. It said, no, thank you. I don't want to be king. And then here's a point, another good point, verse 9. We're coming back to verse 9 a lot. Notice this. The olive tree asked a question which began with two words, verse 9. Should I? Should I? The interesting two words, isn't it? Should I? The olive tree reflects thoughtfulness. It reflects thinking through, so to speak. It said, should I? And again, coming back there to the verse, should I leave my fatness? And I'll comment on that word in just a moment. The word fatness is a very interesting word in the original Hebrew language. Should I leave my fatness? Note that. Where they honor God and man and be promoted over the trees. The olive tree said, should I? In other words, the olive tree insists on remaining useful. Wasn't interested in a title. It just wanted to be useful. That applies really well tonight to Christians. You know, every title that we wear as a Christian suggests usefulness. Well, what about this? A servant? A soldier? A student? A steward? Suggesting usefulness. The point being that usefulness is more important than prominence. Don't forget that. Usefulness is more important than prominence. The olive tree said, I don't want prominence. I want to be useful. So should I leave my fatness and be promoted? I don't want the prominence. I just want to be useful. Every Christian ought to feel that way. I'm not wanting a position. I'm not wanting a title. As much as I am wanting to live up to what I am as a Christian. Usefulness. You know, churches are always blessed to have people that puts more emphasis on usefulness to others than a position like given a prominent title. Church titles, by the way, are no better than function. No better. I mean, that's just like the curl on a pig's tail. What good is it? When I get ready to eat pork, I'm not thinking about eating the tail at all. Give me the hams. So it looks good. It makes the pig look pigly, I guess you could say. But it's useless. So titles without function are useless. Who are you in the church? I'm the pastor. Big deal. If the pastor is not functioning as a pastor, as an under-shepherd, he's not helping the church. Or a deacon, or a teacher, or whatever the case might be. It's more than about title. It's about function. It's about this. And the question is asked, should I? Important two words. Basically, we could put it like this. How can I honor him who saved me? And how can I be a blessing to those around me? There you have it. How can I honor him that saved me? And how can I be a blessing to those around me? That's function. Just be content to be an olive tree more than being a king. And we see this in this parable. Because that's our first calling, and that's the most important calling. Be content to be an olive tree, putting the emphasis on function. We're servants before anything else. Servants. One of the greatest men that I've ever read about and respected in the Bible is a man by the name of Paul. He could have gone somewhere with titles if he wanted to, but he didn't. He loved to begin his epistles by using the word servant. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. You know, it sounds better to human nature to spout out a title, but it's not too becoming to human nature to say, I'm just a servant. But there's more blessing and substance and rewards and fruit in being a servant than anything else. The olive tree basically is saying, just let me keep being a servant. I'll keep producing the olives. I don't want to be king. I don't want the title. I want to emphasize function. We're a servant before anything else. We please God more and we help people more with that station in life than any prominent title we could ever begin to imagine. Now, thirdly, my third point is this, simple, practical point. And here it is. Thoughtfulness is better than impulsiveness. Thoughtfulness is better than impulsiveness. I keep coming back to verse 9. The olive tree said, should I leave my fatness? The olive tree gave thought. The olive tree, in other words, the olive tree represents a person who's cool-headed rather than someone that shoots from the hip. Cool-headed. Pondering things. Should I? Thinking it through. Oh, it may sound impressive to be king, but should I really leave my usefulness to be king? Wouldn't the world be better off, and wouldn't even churches be better off if people would tend to be more cool-headed, thoughtful, rather than impulsive? That's one of my flaws many times. I'll admit it. I kind of relate real well to Peter. You know, we all have our weaknesses, don't we? I'm giving you mine. Do y'all have any? I'd like to think you do, because I think this is a congregation of human beings, not angels. But anyway, we see that principle there. Thoughtfulness is better than impulsiveness. The olive tree gave thought, not impulsive to act. Questioned before making a decision. Many people grab the bait and give in to every whim that comes along. And that's bad. Don't make a choice on the whim just because the door might be open either. Some people say, well, God opened the door. Well, that needs to be prayed through and thought through too. Sometimes a door that they're giving God credit for opening might be their own self-imposed door. It might be an impulsive decision someone is making so they want to feel good about it, and they'll turn around and say, God, open the door. You know, it is amazing, folks, how God gets credit for so many of our mistakes. But the olive tree says be thoughtful rather than impulsive. There are liberties in life that we enjoy as a Christian. There are things that we can legally do as a Christian. But yet, there are some things that we can do that might still not be expedient. Now, I'll give you a good verse. 1 Corinthians 10:23, all things lawful, but all things are not expedient. Not all things are expedient. See, this is the idea, the thought here of a person that thinks, I'm about to do something, I'm about to make a decision. Is it expedient? Is it the right thing to do? Or is it just me being impulsive, working out of my own energy? Well, you know what we need, folks? We need to stay put, get discipline, dig down deep, and be steadfast and unmovable, and learn to wait on God. The tree, the olive tree, it says, basically, it takes time to bear fruit. It takes time. Olive trees don't begin to bear fruit for 5 to 8 years after they've been planted, and maturity must precede fruit bearing. Maturity must precede fruit bearing. We need to grow up first in the things of God, and then God can make us fruitful. Then finally, and I'm through with this, my fourth point. Here it is. Specific work is better than just work. Specific work. Verse 9 again. Olive tree said, should I leave my fatness? Word fatness, interesting word. The word fatness is a word that means ashes of sacrifice. What it means? Ashes of sacrifice. The olive tree is saying, how can I leave my sacrifice behind to attempt a work in lesser venue, in a lesser venue of less valuable? The olive tree is saying, why would I leave my fatness to assume a title that I don't want to start with? Why would I leave my ashes of sacrifice? It still comes back to this. Function is more important than the title. So again, specific work is better than just work. There's another good principle. I got to hurry here. I think this. Okay, I believe that every one of us that are saved tonight, God's placed us in the work, that's right. But I believe that every one of us have a particular ministry, a particular work that we can do for the glory of God. Different talents, different abilities. Some can do one thing, the other can't do this, that very same thing. So it's good to work, but it's even better to work specifically. To know what God wants us to do and to do it. You know, the world's full of working busy people. Churches are full of busy people doing this, doing that, doing something else. But it needs to be fine-tuned. You know, I think of what Paul said. This one thing I do. Paul's a specialist. He said, forgetting those things behind, reaching forth, pressing forth to those things which are ahead. He was a specialist. This one thing I do. It would pay us all to pray much and seek God's will about what we can do specifically in the church ministry. Someone wrote this, I work the mornings, I work the evenings, I work all night long, the time clock's in heaven, I get paid when I get home. And that's the key thing. Closing thought, just be a good olive tree. Don't aspire to greatness. Just emphasize function, pleasing God and being a blessing to people. And that's the parable of the olive tree. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this evening for this Bible study. And help us, Lord, to learn from this parable. Help us, Lord, to realize this evening that every single one of us are blessed exceedingly abundantly. And God, help us to not get away from our function. Why are we here? What are we to be doing? How can we be a blessing to others? And oh, help us, dear Father, to honor the Lord first of all. Bless this invitation. If there's anyone that may be here or even out there that's viewing of tonight, YouTube, Facebook, I pray this evening, if there's anyone that's watching, listening to this message, that's never come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, may they right now, right where they are, call upon the Lord as a sinner the Bible says they are, and trust Him as their personal Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Father, bless this invitation. If there's anyone tonight in this service that the Spirit of God has nudged them concerning coming forward at the invitation, praying on this altar, kneeling before the altar tonight, and trusting you with a need, may they do so this evening. Bless the invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.